Chicago. Guess what? It is Wednesday, August the, woo, I believe the 18th. Is that right? Yeah, August the 17th. Yeah, August 17th, 2016. And Taking Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side Studios located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. And we have an outstanding show for you on today. Man, I am so excited about today's show. It is good, man. Wisdom Wednesday. Topic, real simple. From the crosswalk.com website. Topic today is my two biggest vision lessons. My two biggest vision lessons. That is going to be good. We got that coming up. And man, I have to tell you all about the Monday show. It was just absolutely amazing. If you missed it, we're going to talk about that real, real good. So look here, y'all. As always, it's your boy, your host, Mr. Dana L. King in the studio all by myself. All by myself, but that's all right. In the studio, man, I am excited. And it's just going to be a good time. Let me give you the rundown on how you can contact the show. If you are listening via already called in, meaning you've already dialed in. If you've already dialed in, not sure who this is calling me. If you've already dialed in and you want to be a part of the show with your questions and or comments, simply push 1 and you can be a part of the show. If you are listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. If you are on social media, so are we, simply go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. And you can find us there. If you are on Twitter, you can tweet the show. Simply tweet the show. That's at TTLO Radio. Again, tweet the show at TTLO Radio. If you want to email the show simply at takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. If you'd like to, what else is there? I'm sorry, Ustream. I'm a little lost, man. So, yes, what happens when my phone ring in the middle of the show? If you want to be a part of the show via Ustream, you can watch the live streaming of the show. Simply go to ustream.tv, do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you will find us there as well. If you want to watch the live stream is up and running right now. Simply go to facebook.com. I believe I have shared it. And I will get that to you as soon as I can. Yeah, make sure I got that up and running because I was a little bit. There we go. All right. So, yeah, let me go ahead and share that real quick with the TTLO page. Really, Dexter? Really? Why am I wearing a hat indoors? You know what? You're right. I'm going to take it off in a minute because it is a little warm up here. But, yeah, I will I will get right on that. And then last but not least, if you want to get the download to subscribe to the podcast, simply go to iTunes and download the podcast, Taking Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you will find us there as well. Amen. That's just too funny. Anyway, let me move on. Let me take this hat off. Because people question me about my hat. Let's move on. Okay, so that's a little bit better. All right, let me do that. Okay, so now we got some room to operate. So, man, look, I am excited, man. We had a wonderful time. If you missed the show on Monday, my, you missed an amazing show. If you missed the show on Monday, you missed an amazing show. Everybody, you know what? Okay, all right, y'all. The hat is gone. Now, y'all need to get over it. Y'all need to, what's the problem? The hat is gone. Y'all calm down about the hat. Calm down about the hat. Is it that serious? I am in the studio. The studio is not. I am not in the sanctuary of the church. I am in the studio. Y'all can calm down. Anyway, let me move on. Oh, my God. Anyway, so look, watch this. We got so much positive feedback, from Monday's show, and I cannot go any further without first thanking the Lifeline Church family. You want to talk about professional? Let me tell y'all something. They ran that thing like a well-oiled machine, and I have to give credit where credit is due. So first off, shout out to the shepherd of that house, Pastor Reggie Royal. Pastor Reggie Royal and Pastor London Royal, actually, the two of them, man. You guys have an amazing staff. They treated us very well from Friday, letting us set up early on Friday and having everything in there for us. And it's just amazing. If you didn't, let me give a shout out to Pastor Clyde Hall. Big shout out to him with all the stuff he did to help us get this stuff up and running. Minister Sam, Sam Brown, I believe is his last name. Man, he put in the work. The video production value was just absolutely amazing. Brian Gray, all the audio stuff, man, just absolutely amazing. So I cannot go any further without thanking them for all of the great work that they did to help us get that thing up and running. To my sister, my twin sister, as she likes to, as she has been so doubly named, Angela Johnson. Big shout out to you for working and getting bringing those guests to our attention. Man, it was amazing. McCall Harris, my God, just amazing. The author, Michael Carson, who called in for the entire show. Angela herself, Pastor Royal, who sat on the panel. Even Pastor Rob Johnson, who could not make it, but man, you know what? It worked out exactly the way God had intended for that thing to flow, and it was all right. And you just have to make sure when you get a chance to be sure to check it out, because you will be blessed by what was shared. It like I said, I'm going to share the show. I'm going to make sure I share it with you. Actually, if you just go to the Taking a Limit Talk Facebook page, and you can just go to Monday's date, and the show is there. It's already there. But, man, big shout-out. And then I can't go any further first without saying thank you to the best. You know what? It's a lot of radio shows. And I know everybody think, you know, whatever. I have the best producer slash manager slash agent, whatever you want to call her, man, held it together up there, ran it. Behind the scenes, LaTanya, man, you are absolutely awesome. So want to make sure I get everybody their kudos. And the TTLO family, man, look, I know a lot of y'all couldn't be there. I understand. You know, people got jobs and other commitments and all that. I understand that. But y'all do the work, and y'all, man, the prayers keep this thing going. So definitely want to say that. And, man, the topics, the conversations, the chat, those of you guys who came back in on the chat rooms and just filled up the filled up the chat rooms with conversation. I mean, the chat rooms were blowing up, and I mean, watch this. They were blowing up to the fact that people who I know, people who know people that go to Lifeline, who ask them, did they happen to watch the broadcast? I mean, it's huge. It was huge. So it was just amazing. It was a conversation that needed to happen. It was a conversation that was well overdue, and you know what? Even with the agreements to disagree, the conversation was needed. It was relevant, and I you know what? It was I know everybody said it was fine. I apologize because the show went almost three hours, like 2 hours and 50 minutes. This is a 90-minute radio show, but this show went almost 2 hours and 50 minutes. Almost 3 hours. It was 2 hours and 50 some odd minutes, and there was not one boring moment of that show. Nothing. There was, and I like what Pastor Reggie said. He was like, "I don't waste time." He said, "Because if I thought this wasn't important, trust me, I wouldn't sit here for 3 hours." And he was absolutely right. It was that kind of show, and I was just blessed to be a part of it. So man, it's just good. It's really, really, really good. So. if you when you get some time. Oh, and I have to thank the author, the writer of the article. Man, I can't even go. I can't go nowhere without thanking the author, the writer of the article. The writer of the article who put that article together, that actually gave us something to talk about, that sparked the whole conversation. Big shout out to her, because it was, man, that whole conversation was ridiculous. And the title of the article again was 20 Lessons I've Learned Since Leaving Church. And if you haven't taken a chance to read it, Micaiah Green is the writer. She's the author, writer for the Huffington Post. Actually reached out to her, hoping to hear back from her after she's had a chance to listen to the show and get her feedback on some of the things that we said. And hopefully, man, and you know what? I'm looking forward to doing it all over again. I mean, it's good, man. And it's one of those things where, you know, y'all know me, man. When I make it into one of those areas and you can feel the Spirit of God moving in a place, I'm one of those people who just want to stay there. I get that vibe that the apostles got. I get that vibe. I believe it was Peter. It said in Matthew, Lord, it's good for us to be here. And can we just stay? You know, when it's good to you, you just say it's good for us to be here. And I don't know about y'all, but it was good for us to be there. It was good for the conversation to take place, and it was amazing. And I wouldn't change it. I wouldn't change it at all. So, man, again, big shout outs to everybody who played whatever part you played in getting Monday up and going, man. It was great. So I just wanted to talk about that real quick. And it's, you know, I'm still full, and I have yet to go back. I'm going to go back and listen to the show again myself, because you know, when you're in the midst of it, you kind of miss some stuff unless you take notes. So I'm going to go back myself and listen and watch, hopefully, when we get this video situation straightened out, hopefully get a chance to watch that as well. So, man, it's good stuff. It's good stuff, man. So, yeah, again, thank you to the Lifeline Church family for being gracious hosts, and to the TTLO family for making sure we was up and running and that we stayed on the air. And Blog Talk, guess what? Y'all didn't have no technical difficulties. Thank the Lord Jesus on Monday. We didn't have no technical issues on Monday during the broadcast. Now, look at God. I'm going to leave that there. Amen. 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 So that was good stuff, man. That was good stuff. So look here, y'all. We got this there's so much stuff that is going on, sis. This big shout out, man. Okay. Y'all know I got to get the Olympic update. Simone Biles yesterday, in case you missed it, she snatched another gold medal yesterday in the floor exercises. And if y'all, man, I'm telling you right now, just spend the floor exercise lasts about three and a half to 4 minutes. This little girl is a powerhouse. I know I'm probably mimicking the commercial that she has. I think it's with Tide or whatever. Is it Tide or Cascade or something? But she is absolutely amazing. And that floor routine, crazy. The height that she gets and the amount of power that when she springs off that thing, off that floor, man, it is something to watch. So, man, just again, big shout out to her. And Allie Raisman, she won the silver medal. So again, America took one and two in those spots. So it's just good, and good to be there. Okay, just wondering so what did I miss? Okay, be a little bit more specific with your message. I'm sorry. So yeah, it's just good stuff, man. It's just good stuff. So look, y'all, when we come back, we're gonna take a quick break. We're gonna take a real quick break, and when we come back, we're gonna jump into a little bit of hot topics. A lot of stuff going on, stuff happening in the city. Some stuff we didn't even talk about. Man, we got to talk about this thing that's going on in Louisiana with this flood. What is that? I mean, really, what? I am just a little like, what is going on with that? So, man, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump right into that conversation. So, man, look, we're going to leave y'all with a little bit of this Myron Butler, Bless the Lord. We'll be right back, y'all. TT, hello.
all we have tonight.
Just so much good stuff. You are once again, you're listening to Taking the Limits Off Radio. We are back. Sorry about that. I'm excited and talking and ain't hit the mute button. I'm reading some of the comments from Facebook Live and Ustream, and people are just saying, when I was talking earlier about it, I wouldn't change anything. As people, I wouldn't change it either. The show was awesome. They enjoyed the panel. What is this, really? Yo, Pastor, I need that pink shirt. Thank you and God bless you. Okay, April. All right, we going. It's called the Polo Factory Outlet in Aurora. Just take 88, pay two tolls, and you'll get there. There it is. All right. Now, and I got a couple of 25 and 30% off coupons. There you go. Because I need to go back there myself because they got some fresh new colors out, and I'm in need of some fresh new colors. Amen. So I had not even mentioned it, not even think about it. We did mention it on Monday because Monday we were caught up in the conversation. But what's going on in Louisiana right now is crazy. It's crazy. They are in the middle of another flood, and the last time something like this happened in that area or that region, unfortunately, was Hurricane Katrina. And we know how that turned out with the breaking of the levees and everything. In this particular instance, this was strictly because of the amount of rain. What they had happened in Louisiana, in this part of Louisiana, was the equivalent of a tropical storm that just kind of stayed. And they said it was described as an inland tropical depression, whatever that means in weather, in meteorological terms, that it just kind of stayed there. And I'm just reading some of these numbers. It says the river records were shattered by 4 to 6+ feet. So you know, they said the Emil River, which is in, what is that, Durham? Let me make sure I got that right. In Durham Springs, hit 4.7 feet above its previous record. So this is, this flood is not, this was not a levee situation. This was just nature doing what it does. And my God, and I had no idea that it had gotten this much. And I'm reading another quote here from another meteorologist. They says in this time of in Louisiana, in a few days, got more rain than Los Angeles got in the last 3 years. In a few days, Louisiana got more rain than Los Angeles did in 3 years. Think about that for a hot minute. That's crazy. That is really, really crazy. That is just insane when you think about that. That's, you know, and we have to pray for those people, man. And people are, once again, you got people on rooftops. You got people, you know, stranded. You got people dying in the water. And I will say this. They are the movement of getting people out is a whole lot quicker than it was with Katrina. You do see them coming, and FEMA and the National Guard and those people are there on time. There is not this 3 days of folks just floating around with no way. You know what I'm saying? So they're there, and it's just. But man, we definitely want to just keep the people of Louisiana. I got family down there, and I got friends who got family down there. We definitely just want to keep them in our prayers, because it's just crazy that's happening right now. So we definitely want to keep those people in our prayers, man, because it's we are. And you know, I think we tend to take for granted. You know, we complain. I know, like, even here at the church, when we get a really bad rain, our parking lot gets a little flooded right by the door area. So, you know, and we be mad and complaining. But that water goes down like in 15 minutes. I'm going to let that sit there for a minute. We complain with the parking lot get flooded. And that water goes down in 15 minutes. You know what I'm saying? So you know, it's unfortunate, but things, certain things put you, give you a different perspective when you think about where we are and the stuff that the stuff that we complain about versus what I would like to say are more legitimate or more noteworthy events. So, you know, man, while we're worrying about this little thing and that little thing, this is a life-threatening thing that people are once again dealing with in Louisiana. So we definitely want to make sure we keep our prayers up for them and include them in our prayers at the end of the show as well. Yeah, so that's that. Man, all right, real quick, I have to give you the political scope real quick. I got to give it to you once again. That y'all's friend Donald Trump, I'm saying y'all because y'all's boy Donald once again continues to go on with the foot and mouth disease, because he constantly is saying things that are just completely off base, have no merit or anything. Now here is the most recent one. What is this guy's name? The former mayor of New York. Y'all know him, Rudy Giuliani. He's the former mayor of New York. He was still the mayor of New York. I believe he was still the mayor of New York when 9/11 hit, and he was down there at Ground Zero when everything happened. And now, all of a sudden, because he's on the Trump campaign trail, he is out, and he makes probably, you know, we were leaving the asinine statements to Donald. We were leaving the asinine statements to Donald. But now, it seems that, you know, I guess it's true that is stupidity contagious? I mean, is it? and I used to say that back in the day, but is stupidity contagious? And the reason I asked is simply because Giuliani made this statement the other day. He says there has not been a terror attack. What did he say? We had not experienced a terror attack as bad as we did until President Obama. And oh, this is what he said. Radical Islam did not have the power to attack the United States like it does until President Obama and the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, got into office. That's what he said. That's what he said. Literally, he literally said seriously, he says, under those 8 years before Obama, this is what he said, under those 8 years, talking about the Bush years, under the 8 years before President Obama, we did not have any successful radical Islamic terrorist attacks inside the U.S. That's what he said. That's what he said. Now, he was the mayor in New York, right? Giuliani. I'm going to read it again. Under those 8 years before Obama, this is his exact quote. It wasn't taken out of context. It was not he was not misquoted. We're not misunderstanding. He did not misremember. He did not misspeak. This is what he said. He said, under those 8 years before Obama, we didn't have any successful radical Islamic terrorist attack inside the U.S. What he said simply meant, did he forget about 9/11? Were those not radical Islamists, as they like to use the term, because they say Obama won't say it, I'll say it. Were those not radical Islamists that attacked our country in 2001? Was that not who that was? What is really the thought process? Are you so caught up in politics that you forget historical facts? Again, are you so caught up in politics that you just avoid historical fact, that you're going to say that nothing happened, there was no major issue with radical Islam under the Bush years, even though in Bush's second year in office, we were attacked, or in the middle of his first year, rather, we were attacked by radical Islamists. I'm going to just leave that there and I'm going to move on. Once again, y'all, I really believe this is probably, once again, the worst election ever. I can tell you this right now. Hillary Clinton don't even have to say nothing. Seriously. She don't even have to say anything. She doesn't have to say anything. She can literally stop running ads. Seriously. She can stop running ads because Donald Trump is his own worst enemy. He is his own worst enemy. He is a complete, and I don't want to say the man is stupid, because he's not stupid, because, you know, I mean, he's a little ignorant when it comes to certain things. So I'm not going to call him stupid, but what I will say is that he's got some mind bad issues. He's got some stuff going on that just, you know, that's going to preclude him from ever becoming president. And honestly, I really don't believe he wants to be president anyway. I really don't believe that. I don't believe Donald Trump wants to be president. I think Donald Trump had a separate agenda when he was running for president. He was trying to get some leverage. I believe he was trying to get leverage for his he was in the middle of a contract dispute with NBC over the Apprentice. This was before it was canceled, and he was trying to get more money. NBC didn't want to give him more money. and he decided to run for president. And in the process of running for president, he actually started winning. And then he made the comment that got him fired from The Apprentice about Hispanic Americans. When he made that comment, Hispanic Americans, NBC fired him because of the comments. He then thought, because at that time he was gaining momentum, he then thought that some other outlet would pick him up. What he did not see coming was the fact that there was enough crazy people in this, there was enough crazy folk in this country to continue voting for him. And then he actually started winning. That's why he made the comment, and it's a true statement. That's why he made the comment, I can go in the middle of Times Square and shoot somebody in the head, and I wouldn't go, and I would still get elected. I would still, nobody would come and get me. He said that. That's not a lie. That's a real statement. And he wasn't being facetious, because he truly believes he is that powerful. And he's saying that because he knows he has no business even being in competition to run for the president of the United States. But because he is winning and there is no real reason behind it, because he has no good economic policies, he has no foreign policy, he has no domestic policy, but yet he is still winning. And why? It's because it's showing the ignorance of America. It's showing the blatant ignorance of America. That's why he's still winning. That's why he's still winning. So, again, and I've said this before, I don't like either candidate. But there's just one that I dislike a lot more than the other. And I'll stick to the old statement. It's like choosing between two dogs, which dog has the least amount of fleas. Right. Which one will cause me to itch less? I got to take one of y'all in. Which one will I have to, which one will cause me to scratch less? I don't know. Let's, oh my God, let's move on. So, okay. Have you all seen, everybody know who Eddie Long is? Y'all watching, those of you listening, y'all know who Bishop Eddie Long is? Okay. If you haven't seen the, I'm gonna see if I can post this in the chat on Facebook. Take a look at Bishop Eddie Long. Now y'all remember Bishop Eddie Long before, you know, I know some of y'all saying I don't pay no attention to Eddie Long since what happened. Okay, fine, that's neither here nor there. I'm just talking about it. Y'all remember Eddie Long was always this big muscular preacher. You know, originally he had the S curl going. He had the S curl with the box. And then the S curl was starting, and he was starting to lose it up here in this top region up here. Y'all see me on the thing. He was starting to lose it. And then all of a sudden, he found this toupee piece. So he found like a Jerry curl. Was it a D curl? Y'all remember the D curl? Yeah. You know, it was Jerry curl. It was the Jerry curl. It was the S curl. And then it was the other one. What was the one in the yellow and purple bottle? What was that one? Whatever that curl is. Whatever that curl. But he found himself a Jerry curl toupee, and he was wearing that Jerry curl toupee. But if you remember, Eddie Long was always the dude, the big muscular dude with the tight shirt on, and he was like the swole preacher. You know, he was like big, like, you know, Hulk Hogan, like. Huge, ginormous preacher. So all of a sudden, a picture was released of him in the gym the other day, and instantly, people kind of went in, and his whole process is, he says he's no longer eating from the slave menu. That's what he said. Now, I'm just repeating what the man said. Don't get mad at me. I'm just reading what the man said. The man said, I am no longer eating from the slave menu. That's what he said. That's what he said. He says, I'm no longer eating from the slave menu. So here is, let me make sure I get y'all this video real quick. Let me get y'all this video real quick. He said, he says here, I am no longer eating from the slave menu. That, so you can click and y'all can see his picture. So the picture is there on I tagged it there for you so you can see it, because I just want y'all to see what I saw, because it just kind of made me a little nervous. So, you know, of course, people are assuming that something is wrong, that there is some sort of unhealthy thing happening. He's either contracted something or something has happened to him with his health. So they're instantly thinking that something is wrong. He said that there's nothing wrong, and I'm going, you know, for one, I'm not rooting for anything to be wrong. And let me say this. Those of us who call ourselves Christians, you know, for you to say he's getting what he had coming, shame on you. Seriously. 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 If that's the thought that came in your mind, if that's what popped up in your head when you saw the video, shame on you. Because you don't wish illness on anyone. You don't wish illness on anyone. You don't want to believe me, go to the Bible. Go to the Bible. When Saul was keeping up all his mess, even as messy as he was, what he was doing, David still could not take him out. He could. I mean, so. I mean, it's one of those things where because of who he was still the king put in place by God. He was still the king put in place by God. So for those of you wishing harm on Eddie Long because of his current, and he says it's because he's strictly eating vegetables. He's giving up all meat. He's strictly vegan. He's gone strictly vegetarian. So if that's the case, I mean, hey, you know what? If that's what it is, then that's what it is. So, I mean, you cannot get upset. Now, does he? I mean, yeah, he lost a lot of weight. According to the article, he says he lost almost 100 pounds. So, I mean, hey, more power to him if that's the case. But he says he lost over 100 pounds. And if that's the case, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. I couldn't do the all vegan diet. I can tell you that right now. Now that I can promise you, I could never do the all vegan diet. That's just not going. That ain't gonna ever fit my That ain't gonna fit my life. Sorry, it just ain't gonna work for me. It ain't gonna work at all. Not one bit. Not one bit. So yeah, I just thought I would share that with you guys. So we definitely want to keep him. If he is ill, we want to keep him and the New Birth Church family in our prayers as a person who actually went to and visited from the time when I lived in Atlanta for a few years. Visited New Birth Church. It's an amazing church, and they do amazing work. They do a lot of stuff in the community, and you definitely don't want to miss. You don't want anything to happen with that congregation that would stop them from being able to do the work and the will of God over there at that church. So, again, big shout out to them, and we want to keep Pastor Eddie Long and the New Birth Church in our prayers as well. So much going on, man. There's so much going on, and even here in our city, and I did not mention any of it, but even here in our city, man, we are still at an impasse with the violence and everything that's going on. And just a big shout out to those who stay on the wall, who are continually out in the street, continually motivating people to do better, motivating people for change, just motivating people to try to live a more positive life and to keep the guns and stuff off the street, man. So big shout out to those guys who continue to do that great work every week, week in and week out, day in and day out. When those of us who are sleeping, there's still those who are out in the street who are working to make sure that we are safe. And you know what, and to all of the good police, let me make sure I say that, to all of the good police in the city of Chicago, y'all stay careful. To the good police in the city of Chicago, and to the bad police, do yourself a favor, just quit. Seriously, just quit. Because, you know, you're being exposed, and you're doing the city and the badge more harm than good, thinking that what you're doing is the right thing to do. So you should just move on. You should just move on. When you can no longer help the institution, and you do more harm than good to the institution. There's a sermon in that. It's time for you to move on. It really is. It really, really is. So I just want to put that out there, man, and we want to definitely keep all of those people in our prayers. It's good stuff, man. It's good stuff. So, hey, y'all, look, check this out. I am we have this really, really good article, right? So I am going to just jump into it. I'm going to take a real quick break. I'm going to go over here. Now, I'm going to go over and give me one of these. Now, I didn't bring me any water with me to the studio today, right? So we got these little fruity drinks that's been sitting in the fridge for a minute. Now, I'm going to go over here and grab me one during this break. Now, I'm going to tell y'all exactly what it tastes like when I get back from this break. Y'all pray that this don't kill me, but I'm sure finna drink one of these fruity drinks. We're going to see what it tastes like. I'll be right back, y'all. TTLO Radio. Stay blessed.
We hope that you're enjoying today's broadcast. If you have any questions or simply would like to comment on today's show, please give us a call at 347-934-0546. Or you can reach us at 855-381-8804. We would like to hear from you.
Whew. Okay, I am back, and oh my goodness. All right. That is has an interesting flavor. That's all I'm going to say. I'm trying not to. Whew. Okay, I wasn't expecting that. All right. So here, look, we have this great article that we're going to talk about today, and this is good. Here's the thing. When you think of the word vision, I guess what comes to mind, when you think of the word vision, first thing we normally think of is sight, right? We normally think of eyesight. We normally think of what we see. What's directly in front of us. When we go to the optometrist, when we go to get our eyes checked, we get our vision checked. We take a vision, we do vision screenings to see how strong or how weak our eyes are. They do a glaucoma test. They do all types of stuff. They do a pressure test where they do that little shot of quick air into your eye to see if your eye is holding or keeping the right amount of pressure. So when you think of vision, we first think of eyes and what we see. When you talk about vision in ministry, it's a little bit different. A lot of times vision is what God allows you to see, which you then have to turn around and get other people to see. So God will give you a vision. And because of your faith in him, God will start to show you something and say, okay, this is what I have for you. Now, as God's man, it is now your job to cast that same vision out into God's people. You follow? So the only way to do that is by what? Constantly casting. Casting. You know, when you go fishing, you put bait on the end of the hook, and then they call it, you cast it out into the water, right? Y'all with me? You with me? So you cast it out into the water, and you do what? You keep casting it until what? Until it takes hold of something. Ooh! Okay, Don't miss that. I blessed myself. What's the minute mark on that? Okay, right there, 43 minutes left. When you cast something out, you continue to cast it until it takes hold. And what happens is, once it takes hold, then starts the growth process. Then the vision starts to bloom once the casting takes place. Because when the casting continues and it starts to take hold in just a few people, then it'll start to spread. Now you're not the only one casting the vision. Now you got other people taking their fishing poles. Come on, somebody. And now throwing them into the water. Stay with me. Don't miss this. So when you think vision in ministry, when you think vision in business, God gives you these visions. There was a great commercial. I think it was either Bank of America. Y'all stay with me. It was either Bank of America or somebody else some years ago, or maybe a couple years ago, where they showed these people who were getting loans, and they were all walking around with these frames,
and they got out of the car or got out of whatever, wherever they're going, and they stood in front of this vacant lot. But when they looked through the frame, they could see the vision of the business that they had. Huh? Stay with me. God gives you a vision. He allows you to see it through his eyes. So now you have to take this thing and frame it so that now God says, okay, God says to Abraham, get thee to a place that I, God says to Abraham, I will make your name great. But first he says, Abraham, get thee away from thy who? Kindred. Uh-huh. From familiar folk. Uh-huh. From folk who just, you know, from negative Nancy and do nothing Donnie. Come on, somebody. Get thee away from them people and go to a place that I will show you. And then he says, I will make you the father of many nations. I will make your name great. God cast his vision onto Abraham. Abraham then had to take that vision and say, okay, folk, let's pack up and go. Let's go. And Abraham, so he says to Abraham, father of many nations. Okay, we know Abraham at the time had no children. Sarah had no children. But yet Abraham believed the vision that God gave him. He gave him a vision. I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Even though you ain't got no kids, even though you are older than dirt, I am still going to make you the father of many nations. Sarah, even though all your eggs is as dry as the Sahara Desert, I'm still going to make you somebody's mama. Come on, somebody. He cast a vision. Now, watch this. Two things happen. Abraham, because of who he was, believed. Father of faith. Sarah, because of who she was, did not have the same modicum of faith that Abraham had. So when the angel spoke to her, she laughed about it. She said, who? You got to be playing, not me. Huh? So that's two examples of what happens when vision is casted. You have some people who will immediately move by faith. You have others who will laugh and say, ha, ain't no way we going to get there. Abraham and Sarah. Right? We know how it worked out, right? Because even though she laughed, we do know that Isaac did finally show up. But see, because she laughed, she decided she was going to go do something else. Instead of her waiting on the vision to come to pass, she's going to try to help the vision. Let me help you, see. Ooh, I'm finna get this. Oh, God. Okay. This is why I shouldn't be by myself. When God gives vision to the pastor, stay with me. Sometimes he does not give the vision to the wife. So when the pastor moves on something and God says, we're going to do it in this amount of time, it's not the wife's job, come on somebody, to jump in and try to help move the vision in a way that God did not give direction for. Ooh, stay here. I'm going to get to the article because it's good, y'all. It's good. But stay here. When God gives instruction, so God said to do this. God said, I'm going to make you, y'all too are going to make the family. The promise will come from Abraham and Sarah, right? Sarah decides because they are getting up in age and time is running out in her mind. She says, I need to make sure that the promise comes. So what I'm going to do in all of my wisdom is I'm going to go get my little handmaid. I'm going to go get her because, Hagar. I'm going to go get her because, my little slave. And she already cute. And I'm going to tell Abraham because, Abraham, I know your seed is strong. So Abraham, I want you to go and lay. Stay with me, y'all. I want you to go lay with Sarah. Come on. I want you to lay with Sarah and go make this baby to make this promise come true. But watch this. That's not the vision that God gave. See? If God gives vision, we have to follow his exact instruction. Because when you try to do something else and add to it thinking that you're helping God, because somebody said God don't need your help. Come on, somebody. Look at you. I know my good friend April put this post up the other day and said she tired of pastors saying, look at your neighbor and say neighbor. So I'm going to just say, you know what? Tap the person next to you and just say, my God. I'm seriously, we have to get to a point where God don't need our help. He does not need our help. So when he cast this vision, when he gave Abraham this vision, it was so that it would come to pass through the way God said, through Abraham and Sarah, not through Hagar. Sometimes some folk will try to think they're doing you a favor, not realizing they're causing more harm than good. Let me tell y'all something. Y'all know how many ministries have been destroyed from folk thinking, okay, all right. So when you cast vision, you need to make sure that your team around you recognizes the vision. Because, see, watch this. If all you do is cast the vision, meaning you say it one time, and now you think everybody got it, and then they turn around and they're left to their own devices, and you no longer cast the vision, and now they're sitting back, everybody at their own little desk in their own little office, and they're watching all this stuff happen, and they're saying to themselves, oh, wait a minute. God said we was going to have this, and we ain't got it yet. So now everybody's coming up with their own little get-rich-quick scheme to try to help this vision come to pass versus waiting on what God said is going to come to pass. Stay with me, y'all. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. So all of a sudden now, because you don't see the vision coming to fruition quick enough, you behind the scenes manipulating things and circumstances to try to get the vision to come to pass, not knowing that you blowing up more stuff than you fixing up. Huh? Let's get into this article, y'all. Let's get into this article. Let me give y'all the article. Once again, it's real simple. It's my two biggest vision lessons. That's the article. My two biggest vision lessons. The article is on crosswalk.com. It's on crosswalk.com. I'm going to put this up here for you guys who are watching on Facebook Live. You can click and follow along. So you can follow along with the article as well. Let me get it over here for y'all on the Ustream side as well. So y'all can get it too, because I want y'all, everybody, to be able to follow along with the article. Okay, we good. We are good. Yeah, is that it? Is that it? Is that it? Make sure I got that in there. Yeah, there it is. All right, so everybody's got the article. Let's jump right into it. So this writer is James Emery White. He has a weblog, and he writes about vision. He's very, very good. He got some good stuff in here. So this is what he says. He says, most of us know about the importance of vision for leadership and particularly its importance in the life of the church. The writer says, our mission is evangelization and transformation of culture through centrality of the local church. And without vision, people perish. Without vision, people perish. He says, or more literally, they cast off restraints. They have no sense of true north, no boundaries, no funneling of energy, no focus. He says, when you have a mission like ours and a culture like ours, you can't afford the absence of vision. Done. I could stop right there. Can I read that one more time? He says, when you have a mission like ours, you can't afford the absence of vision. So here he goes. He says, so what are my two biggest vision lessons as a leader? Two. He only has two. He says, one, vision leaks, and don't just think big, act it. Vision leaks, and then don't just think big, act it. So this is what he says. Here are the details beginning with vision leaks. This is what he says. He says, early on, I thought I just had to have one vision for the church, deeply rooted in Scripture. He says, then on special occasions, cast it. Watch this now. On special occasions, cast it. He says, my working assumption was that once I cooked it up and served it, the job was done. Wow. Oh, my God. He says, in truth, all I had done was craft the message that I would be lifting up for the rest of my leadership life. Can I help you? If you got a fish to eat, then you just can't fish once and think you're going to eat for the rest of the year. That'll hit you before the show is over. If you got the fish to eat, you can't think you only going to fish one time and then be able to eat for the rest of the year, let alone the rest of the week. This is what he says. He says, when I see vision, he says, and the phrase is certainly not unique to me, I mean that once people hear the vision and even get it, they don't tend to keep it. He says, wow. He says, it burns bright for a season. If you are fortunate, but it tends to fade. It burns bright for a season, but it tends to fade. It's like a leaky bucket that constantly needs refilling, and not just the overarching vision. Even the values inherent in the vision need their own support, which is why an effective leader is constantly having to talk about such things as serving, giving, inviting, and loving. Wow. Wow. And the biggest part that needs constant refueling. Wow. Can we stay there for a second? So you can't just throw this out here. You can't at the beginning of the year saying, here is the plan for the beginning of the year. And you say that January 1st, you cast your vision. You know, it's the first Sunday of the year. Y'all know that first Sunday when everybody show up at church. Because some of y'all can't believe God let y'all live through last year. So you show up on the first Sunday of the following year and, you know, want to get your praise on because that first Sunday of the year going to have to hold you all year because you really don't intend on coming back. But so you show up and the pastor now cast the vision. And he says, this is what we're going to do in 2017. And there it is. And now the second week comes and now we're back on and now we're back to program as usual. Status quo. What happened to the vision? Oh, it's still there. When was the last time you mentioned it? When was the last time we heard it? When was the last time you reiterated? When was the last time you piggybacked on the reiteration? When was the last time you just wanted to, you know, jump on and redo and re-say and further reiterate what was said? This is what we're talking about when we talk about casting vision. It does not just happen on one occasion. You have to continue to put it out there and do it over and over again until it catches. So then he goes on, he says, and the biggest part of that needs constant refueling. He says, the vision of the mission. He says, one of the natural flows of the church is to turn inward. Mm. Therefore, it takes a disproportionate amount of leadership energy to keep it turned outward. He says, I don't have to spend any energy helping people to get their felt needs met, to take a class of high value or interest for their spiritual life, or if new to the church, to try out small groups to meet new friends. But when it comes to dying to themselves for someone else, real inconvenience for the sake of reaching someone else, that's an entirely different affair. How many times on this show have we talked about churches being too inwardly focused, that we're only concerned about those who show up on Sunday? I've even heard people say, well, we ain't going to worry about the ones who ain't here. Yeah, yeah, that's exactly who you should be worried about. Can I say that again? That's exactly the ones, and I'm not talking about the members who don't show up. I'm talking about the ones who never walk through the door. Because you can say, we're not worried about the ones who are not here, but you have to. You cannot believe that if just because you got folk in your church that you've done enough. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Because, see, God has been better to us than that. He has been. He's been better to us than that, so we cannot allow our mindsets to think that we don't have to worry about the folk on the outside of the church. We can only worry about those of us inside. So then he says, it's easy to be inwardly focused because it doesn't take much effort. Because, see, once you have an established program, it's easy just to keep the program running. Trained monkeys can do that. You do know that, right? They did send a monkey in outer space and back. Uh-huh. Flew the ship. Yeah, that wasn't science fiction. They tested. They used it, a test monkey to fly up and back. So if they can use a test monkey to fly a ship, they can get a bunch of monkeys to sit in church every Sunday. Don't get me started on that. I'm just saying, you can just get anybody to sit in church and just keep the and do what's needed to keep the lights on. Anybody can come to a church and do what's needed to keep the lights on. But when it comes to being outwardly focused, that's when some real work happens. And this is what he said. There's a disproportionate amount when it comes to trying to get people to focus their efforts on an outward basis. So this is what the writer says. He continues here. He says, then I have to vision cast and cast and cast and cast. He says, if I were to take my eye off this ball within 18 months, we would have people complaining about the music being too loud, having to park far away or on gravel, that there's too many people coming that they don't know and that they can't find a seat. And then he says, sure enough, watch this now, sure enough, he says, they will soon be followed by phrases such as, I am not being ministered to, I'm not being fed, and I didn't get anything out of it. In other words, the vision that clearly says it's not about you would quickly become it's all about me. Because the minute you start saying I'm not being ministered to, are you taking into consideration the person sitting next to you? The minute you say I'm not being fed, are you taking into consideration the person next to you? And I say this all the time. When you say, are you not being fed, is it because you just refuse to eat? The meat a little too tough? You ain't ready for it? You can't chew it all yet? Yeah, trust me. Babies would love to eat steak if they could. Huh? So when we make those statements about not being fed and not being ministered to, are we really taking into consideration the rest of the congregation, or is it strictly only about me? Is it only about how I'm being served? The writer says, but it's not just knowing that vision leaks, but the nature of how vision takes that important. He says, I don't have to repeat things just so the bucket will stay full, but so that at some point in time, it initially takes hold so that I have a bucket to even fill. He says, one of the lessons that I've learned is that about the time I get so sick of saying something that I think I'm going to puke if I say it again, and my staff is mouthing the words for me before I even say them, right about that time, the average person sitting in the back risers starts to get it. This is what I told you all. When we went to the conference, and shout out to Pastor Gerald Dew, my supposed to be fill-in co-host who is in Texas today. But what the vision that they cast over there for this year, getting from there to here and then moving from here to there. It sounds very simplistic, but it's very important. He's trying to get people from where they currently are to here, where they can be discipled, and then move from here as a disciple to go out and then become a discipler out there. You get that? So their statement is very simple. We're moving from there to here and from here to there. Real simple, simplistic. And you can get sick of saying it, but like I told you, when we were at that conference, he had about 15 people there, and when he got ready to say his statement, all 15 of them jumped up and said it right before he can get the words out. Because guess what? It's that vision has been cast and cast and cast, and it is ingrained in them. People who tithe and tithe consistently, it's because it has been ingrained in them. Even if it was taught wrong, even if it was taught out of context the wrong way, you do it because it was taught over and over and over again. Now, as a more mature adult, you understand what tithing is. Now you do it not out of fear of being cursed, but out of knowing because it is what God has asked us to do. We do it because we're faithful, but you do it because it's said over and over and over again. That's how you do it. Athletes, some of the greatest athletes go to the gym, basketball players, and shoot 1,000 free throws a day. 1,000. You know how many you know how hard that is? But why? Because it has to be so that this is what happens. So when they stand at the line, their body just automatically knows what to do. They don't have to think about it. It just goes. Because they practice it over and over and over again. Every motion, how many times they bounce the ball, how many times they spin the ball in their hands, how many times they look left, look right, all of that stuff before the lineup, and you do it over and over and over again. Bowling starts for me again on Saturday, and I'm excited about it. I'm a little anxious because I wasn't ready, but I'm excited about bowling starts back again on Saturday. And my approach, one of the things that I worked on all summer long since the season ended, was my approach and making sure that I get the same approach, the same movement, the same motion, the same release point every time. Why? Because I need to be consistent. Because consistent then makes that inherent in me, and now it's done out of instinct. It's done out of habit. So when you have to keep casting that vision until the people start to get it. Here's what the writer says. He says, I'll talk about lost people mattering to God from Luke 15 for the 100th time, and someone who has been attending for years will come up and say, you know, I think I finally got it. He says, or a longtime attender will say, you know, I needed to be reminded of that. That's why I love our church so much. He says, so it's not just giving ongoing infusions, but repetition, saying the same things over and over again, being creative, of course, but not to the point of being afraid of saying what you know you said before. So even if you become repetitive, you have to do it until you can see a remnant of the vision starting to come to pass. You have to continue to do it until you can see little bits and pieces of growth throughout the thing. It's like when we were doing the teaching on praise and worship. And you start to see little bits of people starting to get what was going on. But you can't stop it. You have to keep that going, because the minute you choose to relax on it, it's easy to fall back into that level of comfort and say, you know what, we ain't going to do that today. We just going to skip that. We'll be all right this week. We'll be all right this week. You cannot do that when it comes to vision. You have to keep focused on what it is and keep selling it every chance you get. Every time you stand in front of a microphone, Sunday morning, cast it. Bible study, cast it. Prayer meeting, cast it. Small group meeting, cast it. Every time you get it, cast it. When you're just talking to one of your leaders on the phone about something else, before you get off the phone, cast it. Every time. Every time. It's necessary. It's necessary. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. He says, now on to my biggest, my second biggest vision lesson. He says, Tom Watson was the leader responsible for putting IBM on the map during its heyday. When asked why the company had become so successful, he said, IBM is what it is today for three special reasons. The first reason is that at the very beginning, I had a clear picture of what the company would look like when it was finally done. The second reason was that once I had that picture, I then asked myself how a company which looked like that would have to act. Watch this. The third reason IBM has been so successful was that once I had a picture of how IBM would look, and when the dream was in place, and how such a company would have to act, I then realized that unless we began to act that way from the very beginning, we would never get there. Don't miss what just don't. Please don't miss that, y'all. Please don't miss that. He says, I'll read this part again. He says, the third reason IBM has been so successful was that once I had a picture of how IBM would look when the dream was in place and how such a company would have to act, I then realized that unless we begin to act that way from the very beginning, we would never get there. In other words, he says, I realized that for IBM to become a great company, it would have to act like a great company long before it ever became one. That man, come on, that if you could shout, you should just shout right there. He says, one of the most important things you can do as a church leader is to establish a preferred vision of the future firmly in your mind and spirit. Then act on it and then make decisions based on it. Meaning, don't make decisions based on current circumstance. Oh, my Lord, make decisions based on what it's going to look like 5 years from now. Yeah, I just, hey, my God. Y'all don't miss that. Don't miss that. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. He says, and most important of all, watch this. Let people know what you're thinking. You got to let people know what you're thinking. Stay with me. Don't miss this. You can't have vision and folk not know what you're thinking. You can't. You follow me? He says, watch this. He says, in the early days at Mecca, he's talking about his church, he says, we used to say that we were a small church with a big church mentality. We saw ourselves from the beginning as a church of thousands. He says, hear my heart. It wasn't for bragging rights or size for its own sake. We cared about reaching lost people, and we were surrounded by so many. How could we not dream of reaching as many as possible? So we acted like a big church. When we were running less than 100 people, we would prepare for each service, watch this now, as if hundreds would come in terms of quality, effort, and attention to detail. Oh, my Lord. Ah. He says, and that's one of the reasons hundreds did come, and then thousands. He said, it's very easy for a church to act in accordance with its current status. To simply prepare a service for 250 because, that's what you tend to have in attendance. So everything is done with that level of quality, but also that level of decorum. You do church for 250. So then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Okay? Stay with me. He says, for a church running 250 to become a church of 500, it has to begin to act like one long before it actually is one. Oh, my God. That. Okay. All right. I know. Keep it together. Seriously. And I know we're talking about from a church aspect, but even if you're running a business, even if you're running a business and your business is only you only have so many clients, you know, so you know, you got a beauty shop. Let's say you got a beauty shop and you know, you got you and two other stylists in there and y'all got a clientele of about maybe 55 people or 50 people total between the three of y'all. But you're running the shop like that. But if you ran the shop like you were preparing for more clients, like if you paid attention to the detail, like I'm not going to keep you in here all day. I know you got business to take care of, and I got stuff to take care of, so when I make my appointment and say you're going to get in here at 10 o'clock, I'm going to try to at least get you in my chair by 10:15 and have you out of here by a certain amount of time, and we're going to run this thing like a well-oiled machine. Why? Because when I do get my numbers increased, when now I have X amount of clientele, guess what? I've already got the mechanisms in place Stay with me, somebody. I've already got the mechanisms in place, so when growth comes, there's no adjustment period, because guess what? We've already worked all that out. We know what works. We know what don't. We know, okay, fine. It takes me this many time, this long to do this. It takes me this long to do this. It takes us this. We need this amount of people to do this capacity, all of that. When you do this from the beginning, you're not surprised or ill-prepared when it happens. My. So, he says, these two vision lessons I've learned are what helped me make Mech's vision a reality. So again, there may be some of you who are in a church right now, and the church is a little bit is in a stagnant status, non-growing or slowly dying. Or whatever, and you're wondering why, and it could be this reason. It could be because you're functioning, even if you're running a business. I don't care if you're running a multi-million-dollar business or a non-for-profit business. Even if you're running a business, it needs to be done in excellence. It needs to be done in excellence. We have standards here at this radio show, right? We have a certain standard, and no matter where we go, no matter how big it gets or how small it gets, these standards will not change. We have things that we set in place. So we have went through the process. We've had the failures. We've had the disappointments. We know what it looks like. So now we're prepared for things to they blow up if they don't blow up, whether they get big or small or whatever. We are prepared. But we can't do that if we're not all on the same page as far as the vision. I can't have if I have a vision for what this radio show is going to do, and Devon has a separate vision, and Tanya has another vision, and Sharissa and Michael have something to they're on the same page, and then my business partner, he's on the other side, and they all around the city talking about different directions. What do you think's gonna happen? What do you think's gonna happen? Eventually, it's going to start to cause some confusion. Eventually, people are going to start having some little quiet resentments toward one another. So this is what has to happen. You as the leader have to cast a vision. Those in your inner circle, those who go out with you, those who are always standing next to you, they need to know what the vision is and be able to relay that when asked. Did you get that? Not only be standing next to you, but be able to relay and then turn around and recast the vision. Guess Jesus said, I will teach you to be fishers of men. Okay, so when I cast my vision to the deacon and the trustee board, okay, fine. Now the deacon and the trustee board ought to be able to continue to recast that vision over and over again. My Sunday school teachers ought to be still, even though teaching Sunday school lessons, should still be casting the vision. Everybody else, my missions, my evangelical team, everybody should still be casting the vision that I casted originally to you, that God gave to me. That's the way it works. And when you do that, you leave little to no room for ambiguity. None. But if I'm saying, man, we're going to do this, next year I really want to focus TTLO on this, and then I got another one of my people somewhere else saying, well, you know, we're really going to be focused on this next year. Well, wait a minute now. I heard your dude say this, and now you over here saying this. Which one is it? Now you don't look like you're operating on one accord. Now you look like there's three, four different heads on top of this thing. And it's not about who's in charge. It's not about who's in charge. That's not the issue. It's about the vision. And if the vision has been laid out, and the vision is moving in the right direction, and it is successful, then you need to stay on that path of the vision. Now, if you got questions about it, you ask. If you got questions, you ask. If you got comments or whatever, you ask them. Because what you don't want to do is sit back and go, this ain't working, but then you telling everybody else it ain't working, but you're never coming to me. You follow what I'm saying? That doesn't work. That's not how visions work. So you have to keep going. It's just like if you go fishing and you constantly using this bait, and this bait is only bringing back, you know, one fish at a time, or you're out there for 2 or 3 hours and you're only catching one fish, and then somebody else on the same team is using a different bait, and they're casting out their line and bringing in more fish, but they're not willing to share with you, even though same team, Team Jesus, we're on the same team, and we're casting, and they're doing something, and you go, well, I don't want to, I'm not going to do it that way. Okay. Or I'm not going to share my information because you want the spotlight to shine on you. It's not about that. It's not about that at all. But at some point, we need to recognize that the vision just can't sit in your belly. You have to share it. You have to share it with other people. You have to. Because how else are we going to get it? How else is it going to come to pass? How else will you get the help you need to continue to cast it out? I say this all the time about, you know, there are pastors who don't want to be, there are pastors who have some large congregations who don't want to be, you know, who don't want to use the internet. They don't want to use streaming. They don't want to use any of that type of social media. But I would say this to them. If Jesus were here casting his vision, he would use every possible medium to his that was accessible to him. Every possible one. Why? Because he would recognize that this is the quickest way and the most efficient way to get my word spread. Which means whatever resources I have at my availability, whatever is going to help me spread this gospel on another level to higher heights and deeper depths, I need to invest those resources. That's why I was so I was so in awe yesterday, Monday, about being at Lifeline Church, because whatever vision God gave Reggie Royal and sister and Lady Royal, Pastor Royal, but Pastor Reggie and his wife for Lifeline, you can see that they have followed that thing, and they are using the vision that God gave them, and resources have come so that they can continue to spread that vision. Do they have a large church? No, it's not over the top big. But every time I've seen that service, every time I peeked in on their streams, it's full. You know why? Because the vision that's being cast, people are, that vision is going on and on. When he talked about people who don't come to church but still go to his small groups and are faithful to the small groups, that lets you know that the vision that he cast out, that God gave him, took hold. It had something to it. Because, no, they don't come into the sanctuary, but they show up at every small group session, every small group Bible study. Those people are there. That means that, guess what? It took hold at some point, and they're there faithfully. That's how you know your vision is legit. But you have to keep pushing it. You have to keep telling it over and over and over again. It's like those people, those look, you know, some of the little athletes, when you hear them talk about their stories as children. I remember Deion Sanders, one of my athletic heroes. Deion Sanders said the first thing he wanted to do was make sure that he could retire his mama. He said that was his whole goal, was to make sure that his mama never had to work and that his mama would have her own house, that he would buy his mama house. That was the vision he set for himself. Guess what he did? He kept telling himself that, and then he worked like he already had it. If you watch the story about him, he worked and operated as though he already had the multimillion-dollar contract. He carried himself in business meetings as though he already was a millionaire. See, we want to be a millionaire, but we don't want to act with the responsibilities of a millionaire. See, we want a house, but we don't want to do the responsible things now to get the house. Uh-huh. We want that new car, but we don't want to do what's responsible to get that new car and keep the new car. Because, see, getting the new house and a new car, that's easy. Because anybody can get a new house and a new car these days. They don't care who you are. They give you a $900, what you call it, a $900 car note, you can get a car. Keeping a car is a different story. But you can get a car. But the question is, are you doing what's necessary to get and then maintain? Not only maintain, but to then thrive. God told Abraham, he says, I am going to get thee away from thy kindred. Go to a place I will show you. I'm going to make your name, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. And then watch this. I'm going to make your name great. You know, you can have a great name and still be nobody. Oh, I'll stop right there. You can have a great name and still be nobody. So this is good, man. Look, if God has given you a vision for something, you know what? Do what's necessary. Do what's necessary to get that thing to come to pass. Do what's necessary. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful, wonderful article, God. We thank you for this wonderful writer, James Emery Wright, God, about vision casting. God, we pray right now, God, that you would allow the covering off of the eyes of your people so that they may see the vision you have for their lives, and then they could start to walk into that promise and walk into that vision. God, right now we ask that you would remove any boundaries, God, any shackles that would hinder them from moving in the direction of the vision that you have cast for their lives. God, we ask right now that you would send people in their lives that have a vision that can show them how to move in the vision you have for them, God. God, we ask that you would send mentors right now. God, we ask that you would send pastors a pastor. God, we ask that you would send fathers a father, God. We ask that you would send them those who can lead them and guide them and give them the direction that they need so that they can then go out and then cast their own visions and then have their stuff come to pass and continue to bring people to Christ as you have instructed us to do. God, we ask that you will continue to prosper all those that have churches open in your name and that are following in your will. God, we ask that you would bless the efforts of the Lifeline Church and all the things that they do. God, we ask that you would bless the efforts of Kingdom Baptist Church. God, we ask that you would bless the efforts of Bodybuilders Ministry, Ministries, God. We ask that you would bless the efforts of Greater Faith Outreach, Greater Faith Works Church, God, with Pastor Angela and Pastor Rob. God, we ask that you would continue to bless these places that are open in your name. And if their visions are visions that you gave them, we ask that you would give them the will and the energy to keep going and to bring them unto pass. God, we ask this in your son, Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, y'all, look, we are out of here, man. Time is up. It is time to go. Look, man, I am really excited. This is good, man. This is good. I would advise you, if you did not keep this article, to take this article, read it. Keep it handy, because it is good stuff. Because man, it's just good. It's good and it's good. God is good all the time. So look at y'all. Y'all stay blessed, man. We will be back on Friday. Y'all know what it is. Praise Break Friday. We'll be back better than ever before. And as I always say, if you're in the city of Chicago, keep your head on the swivel. Y'all stay blessed, man. TTLO Radio. We out of here. Peace.